Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So we're talking about the parable of the talents, and if you want to catch up with where we're at, you'll just have to go back to the website and you can listen to the audios. Videos are available too if you want to watch them, or you can go back to the Facebook. They're available there. And I want to continue on the mind this morning and look at a couple of truths here. But Matthew 13:34 says this, "And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." What we've been doing is looking at different parables that Jesus taught. These are truths that were kept secret until Jesus came. Do you know all the answers to all the universe are already available? They're just in God's hands, in His heart. And so He reveals what we need to know through His Word, and He revealed to us things by His Son, Jesus. And I'm so thankful for the recording of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John so that we can go back and see what Jesus did. And not just from a mental standpoint, but understanding that the teacher of the book, or the author of the book, lives inside you. So I don't just read about Jesus and go, I wonder what his motivation was. I read about him and then the Holy Spirit within me goes, this is what his motivation was. And so that I can combine the two together. Because you know, you can become so studious and so word oriented that you become dry and crispy. You become a crunchy Christian. And then you can become so spirit-oriented and forget about the word, and you become a trail mix Christian. Nuts and fruits and flakes. Trail mix Christianity, right? The joy is not going to end, guys. It's still here. So, but when you bring the two together, you get a person who has the resurrection of Christ within them, has a mind that's transformed, and those two uniting, dominating your flesh nature, and you become a walking testimony for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to make an announcement. This building is not the church. You are. You are. You carry the presence of God wherever you go. I know you can't take Shane with you to lead worship through your day. That'd be a little weird at work. You say, what is that? Well, I just need the worship with me, you know. But you are the house of God. You can worship out of your own heart and you carry the presence of God with you. Amen. So he's speaking to us. He's sharing things with us that were hidden from before time. So go over to Matthew 25, and this is the parable of the talents. And I'm just going to read through these verses, and then we'll go right into where, talking about the thoughts again and where thoughts come from. We talked about the Word and God, that they come from the Holy Spirit and from the Word. Last week, we're going to look at a couple of things here. Matthew 25, verse 14, this is one of the parables. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." And if you want the breakdown of this passage, you'll have to go back to the first messages. Verse 16, it says, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." You know, even if you're a 1 talent person, you should invest it. You shouldn't marry it. People say, well, I'm not as talented as them. Don't worry about them. Go ahead and just take care of what you need to take care of. Amen. You need to just go ahead and use, just say, "Lord, thank you for this 1 talent. People will mock you. Oh, you're just a 1 talent person. You just have 1 talent. Lord, thank you for this talent. I'm going to invest this talent." Do you know, I think, and in the principle of this, knowing God's temperament, I think we could say this. If the 5 talent person hid their 5 talents and the 1 talent person went and invested their 1 talent, I think God would pick up the 5 from the other and go ahead and disperse them to the 1. Because he took from the 1 and dispersed it to the 5. So this is a matter of faith It's not a matter of natural ability by itself. God doesn't care what condition he finds you in, because there's no condition that limits his ability unless we don't use our faith. Well, people say, well, I just wasn't as smart as other people in school. That's interesting, because there were some Hebrew boys in the Old Testament who were made 10 times smarter than everybody around them by their God. If you use your faith, your God will increase your intellect. Amen. He made the brain. He knows how it works. He doesn't even need a doctor to tell him how. Because he is the maker of all. Amen. He spoke, and he knows it down to a degree that neuroscience can't even, they have no clue. He knows it. Amen. So one talent, even if you have one, go ahead and invest it. So, he who had received the 5 got 5 more. Likewise, what verse was I in? Help me out. I was in 20? 16? Okay. 17. And likewise, no, I wasn't in 16, was I? I was on 18. Thank you. Glory to God. Just seeing if you're listening. Okay. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. That's how increase happens. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Wow, what's right there? Joy. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. That's a bad thing right there. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what we had talked about was that God, in talking about the parable of the talents, the Lord had me go a little bit different direction here on what you may have heard in these parables, was this, is God has talented you with a physical body, with a mind, and with a spirit. You are a 3-part being. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians. He said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a 3-part being. And what you do with what has been invested in you, God is holding us accountable to do something with what has been invested in us. If you're born again, you have the resurrection invested in you. You have a mind, and that's what we've been talking about. We looked at the fact that with the body, essentially, we boiled it down to this. There's more detail than this, but we figured this out. Your body is good for one thing, and that's to be the slave to the resurrection of Christ within you. That's what we figured out. Your body is not designed to lead. It is not designed to be in charge. It is designed to house the resurrection and do what God desires. Once you're born again, that's what God desires of you. So you yield to his word and you yield to his spirit, and you wake up in the morning and don't act how you feel, but you act how you faith. Right? You don't act according to your emotion. You act according to what God has said in his word. And what do? You train your emotion to obey your heart. Okay? There's many people in the world today, and there's all sorts of psychology and different things going on, but you'll never understand the soul or mind or even the body or the spirit unless you know the word of God. Amen. Because the entrance of God's word brings what? Light. It brings light. So we've been talking about the body, and then we talked about what was needed there, and then we talked about the mind and what's needed there. And we were talking about thoughts and how thoughts come from God, and they come from His Word, and they come from the Holy Spirit. They can also come through other believers to you. Okay? Through either the gifts of the Spirit, things like that. If the Lord has spoken to them. How many have ever had somebody share a scripture with you or share a word that the Lord had given them for you and it really ministered to you? It was the word of the Lord to you. Now it came through a vessel, but that's one way that the word of the Lord can come to you. So I want to look at this morning. Thoughts come from Satan. People say, don't talk about Satan. It scares me. Well, first of all, he's scared of you. If you're born again. Secondly, the devil would love the fact if the church would quit talking about him. Imagine, he's not seen to the natural eye, he's your arch enemy, and you know nothing about him. That's an enemy's dream. So see, I would rather do what Jesus did, which is just go around with light and anointing all over me, messing up everything the devil does. Now we haven't seen it much in our day, but I believe we will more and more and more out of the church, where the church, you individually, walk into a situation and the enemy goes, what are you doing here? Nope, we're not there yet. We have to work on that one. What are you doing here? Come on. Is there scripture to justify this? Think about this. There were 7 sons of Sceva. Paul, I know. This is the devil talking. Does he know you? I love this. See, you thought you were going to come to church and go, now you be nice. You be nice to people. Now just be nice. Just be nice. I think there's a point to nice and to kind, and of course we have the fruit of the Spirit. But there's more to the resurrection than just be nice. See, you're not fighting with flesh and blood. You're in a battle against principalities and powers, right? Your enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's not your neighbor. That's not your enemy. They act like it. We'll pray for them. Okay? It's not your in-laws. It's not your outlaws. The enemy is trying to work around through situations all the time. And so we need to understand who our enemy is. And we see this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, if you want to turn there. And Paul makes this statement, and it deals directly with the mind. So he says this, he says, but I fear, this is 2 Corinthians 11:3, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your what? Minds may be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. You see that? What happened to Eve? Her mind was what? Corrupted. So thoughts can come from who? Satan. Thoughts come from Satan. How would we know what those thoughts were? Well, we're diligent, so we study our word. We're diligent, so we know our master. We're diligent in fellowship with the Father, so we know the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit bore witness with our spirit when we were born again. And if the Holy Spirit can bear witness with our spirit that we're children of God, then He can bear witness with you that that's a thought from the enemy, not from your Father. You see that? You know God. He lives, the Holy Spirit, by His presence, lives on the inside of you. And when a thought comes against your mind, a way of thinking that has corruptible material in it, then right in that moment, you can go back through the catalog of the Word of God, which you've been storing in your heart and transforming, allowing to transform your mind. And you can go, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I resist that and I submit to the Word of God. Come on, let's say it's unforgiveness. Let's say it's something simple like that. And a thought comes back to you of something somebody did to you, and you look and you think about that, and all these feelings begin to work up inside of you, and the enemy says, see, you haven't even forgiven them. In that moment, you need to go, no, devil. I'm not going that direction. I forgive others as Christ has forgiven me. And I take authority over that thought, and I pull that thing down, and I cast it out, and I love that person, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. Okay? So that's spiritual warfare. The enemy wants to deceive us through false thoughts, through corruption, through trickery, but we must not allow him to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So just back up a chapter there. Verse number 4. This is how we deal with the thoughts. And I just mentioned this, but I want to give you this passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Praise the Lord, they're not carnal. You say, why is that good? Because have you ever been walking through the day and it's like you ran into a thought in the middle of the air? Come on. Think about it. You ever driven down the road and you're not thinking about anything, and then all of a sudden, years back, this thought comes back to you. Now, this is not the devil, but I'm just showing you how these thoughts work. This thought comes back to you of your favorite dog that died. And before you know it, you're going like this. It didn't happen that day. It happened. See, thoughts have power. The enemy understands to a degree how the soul works in humanity. I'm talking about the soul. I'm not talking about the spirit. I'm talking about the soul. He understands how it operates. He understands how it works. And in that, he understands that if he can get a thought seated in you, he can begin to affect your pattern of thought, then your pattern of speech and your pattern of feeling will follow. See, we have a culture that teaches us that we're just blobs that came together over years, millions of years, with electrical interactions. Well, if that's all you are, then you have no control over anything in you. But if you have a source, a creator, who understands how you were made, he understands how your feelings operate. So in the atheist evolutionist worldview, the thought is, we can't control anything. We are what we feel. Where on the other hand, in the creationist understanding and the creationist worldview, where we look to the scripture to decide and give us level playing field, we look at it from the standpoint of, this is what God said about me, so my feelings are not what control me. My God is what controls me. And he said, I can control myself. Hallelujah. It'll change you to think that way. You are not a walking feeling. You're not. You are a spirit who has a soul, you possess one, and you live, you're housed in a body. These eyes are the windows I look through. So when thoughts come to me that are outside of the realm of the Word of God, that I realize this is not God's thought to me, then what do? I take that thing captive. I don't just war in the carnal. I don't just go, man, I don't know why these thoughts are coming to me. I need to share this. I need to share this story with you. There was a minister years ago, and I heard this story secondhand, but it's true nonetheless. And he was in a major city and on top of a skyscraper, a real tall building. And he was out on a balcony looking down over the edge. And he's looking down over the edge like this. And have you ever been real high, like in an airplane or something? You look down at the buildings and it's almost like you could pick the car up. And, you know, everything's really small. And he said he was sitting there, or he was standing there looking over, and this thought, nobody was around him, this thought came to him. Why don't you jump? You know what he did? The smartest thing any believer should do. He turned, nobody's there, and he said, I'm not jumping, why don't you? Why? My weapon ain't carnal. My weapon's not carnal. I don't let suicide sit in my mind. My mind is God's mind. It was given to him, and he said, Sean, he said, I don't want you to kill yourself. I'm going to die for you because I value you that much. So I tell the enemy, go ahead and jump. Or you can do what I've heard others do, and I've done myself. Remind him of where he's going. It won't be long, devil. One angel. Not even a whole legion of them. Just one. Just one. People think you're crazy when you talk this way. But yet Jesus talked this way to the enemy. I'm talking, this is so, where the church has gotten so far away from the Word of God into supposed psychology, Christian psychology, in the sense of everything has gone to worldly understanding. You don't need more natural understanding. You need more spiritual understanding. Paul did not say, go to the psychologist to figure out who you are in Christ. He prayed that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of your understanding, that you would see things from the perspective of the Creator of the universe. He said, I want you to have a mind of one who is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not against Christian psychologists or anything like that in that sense. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is those thoughts that are coming to you, they are not defeated naturally. They are defeated spiritually. And when a thought comes, you have to pull it down. You have to pull those strongholds down. You have to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you don't know what God says about you, how are you going to know what to pull down? When you know the Word and you understand the Word and you're functioning in the Word, then when a thought comes, you can go, rogue, that's a rogue thought. And then you can go, battle formation now. And you lock and you load. Come on, Top Gun, you kick the tires and light the fires. Some people I just lost. They're like, Top Gun, what's that? I don't even know. Some of you, you're with me, I know. Yes. What do you mean? You light him up. Light the enemy up. When the thought comes, this isn't going to happen. That's not going to happen. The Lord told you this, but this isn't going to happen. You stand up in the middle of that situation and go, I declare the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. And then when you utter that name, because this is not a carnal battle, it's a spiritual battle. Every knee shall bow. At that name, in the spirit, the enemy's going, oh, we want to, oh, we got it. Come on, you see it? And it's working. You say, how does it get more and more effective? You don't let go of the promise. You stay in faith. You just stay there, stay there, stay there. Don't move away from it. Stay there. No, this is what the word is. This is what the word is. It's working. It's working. Well, I don't feel like it. I know. Isn't this awesome? I get an opportunity to please my God with my faith. Come on. Do you see that? Paul said it this way. He said, or James said it this way. Count it all. Right? Why? Because that's faith. In the middle of trials and tribulation, you don't feel like joy. You count it joy. And you win that way. Hallelujah. So our weapons, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, this will keep you very busy at first. Because if you have been a lazy gardener in your mind, you've got a lot of weeds to dig out, and then you have things to defend. You know, like in the mighty men of old, the bean patch. You may feel like that sword is glued to your hand and you can't get it out. But that's okay. Go ahead and engage in the battle through the necessary time period to repossess that plot of ground, remove that stronghold, and in the long run, you'll be grateful. See, we use our faith around here and we are believing God for those who don't understand spiritual principles to be able to come out, and God is working on their behalf and He's doing miracles, signs, and wonders. But God's ultimate design is not that you just live in a place of miracles. It's actually in the fact that you possess the promised land and everything is just there. To where you're not just going, God, we need this. You're going, look at the supply. I need to take some of this and go find somebody who has a need. Maturity in Christ, amen? That's the design. So you take every thought captive. The word pulling, to pull down, it means destruction, demolition, and extinction. So you are causing the enemy's thoughts to come to a place of what? Extinction. Come on, believers, believe it. You know, if how would you respond if his thoughts were extinct in your mind? His strongholds were extinct in your mind. Because see, Jesus doesn't have to do it for you. He's already. And you are now tapping in by faith to the supply of grace that has already been made to you. See, Jesus doesn't have to die on the cross again. He already did it. It's over. You won. It's finished. You won. You already won. It's over. It's already done. The victory's already yours. You already have it. You say, I have it, but I don't have it. That's because he requires some faith. And so your faith hand needs to reach in and possess what he's given you. Amen? And then your faith does what? It pleases God. How many would like to please God? Yeah. So we just live by faith. We pull these things down. Let me give you the passage that I was going to go to. I'm not going to go through detail in it, but Luke chapter 4, verse number 1 through verse 13. And what you have here is the temptation of Jesus, where Jesus was led into the wilderness. And what you see is, you see a spiritual principle on how to respond to the enemy. One of my favorite parts that the Lord has dealt with me about over and over again in that particular passage is the fact that at the end of it, it says, and Satan left him for a while. Come on. That's your promise. Go ahead and you wear his rear end out so bad that he goes, we're going to need a little bit of time to get back here. In other words, the devil's going, retreat, 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 regroup. Why? We poked that guy. What happened? All this anointing and word came out of him. It reminded of me of when I was in heaven and I tried to rebel against God and I was falling at light speed all of a sudden. In other words, there should be a reminder inside the believer to your enemy that, hey, don't touch that person. Now, the devil's dumb. As Brother Hagin used to say to us, capital D, capital U, capital M, capital B, dumb. In other words, he's going to come back. He left Jesus for a what? Season. In other words, he had to regroup. Okay, that didn't work, guys. We thought we could appeal to his desire for a kingdom. We thought we could appeal to his natural inclinations, but he just worked us. And so they're, you know, in a group, all bandaged up, waiting to heal up enough to be able to, come on, I'm just giving you a visual illustration, okay? Waiting to come back to the Lord. But in the process of that time, what is Jesus doing? He's not reminiscing about his trial. He's not meditating on what happened in the wilderness. He's continuing to fellowship with his Father and get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So when the enemy comes back, they go, man, last time he was 6 foot, he looks like he's 8 foot now. In other words, the scripture puts it this way. He grew in wisdom and in favor with man and God. In other words, as we continue to work and grow spiritually in the Lord, the enemy should look at us and go, how? That? Oh, we're going to have to regroup. Does that make sense? Would you stand with me, please, this morning? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is, oh, and your presence. They're beyond words, Lord. You are awesome and mighty. Father, we commit ourselves to you. Lord, not to just be hearers as we go, but to be doers of your word. To be doers of your word. To walk in the full blessing in obedience to your word. Lord, we will take thoughts captive, just like you showed us to do. We will take thoughts captive like your word tells us to do. And we'll cast down those things. We will use your words, Lord, to demolish the enemy's strongholds. Lord, even though they may have been there for a while, Even though, Lord, that we may have yielded to the enemy and allowed those things to sit there for a period of time, maybe a long period of time, maybe that stronghold is established, it is not greater than the power that you've given us to pull down. Lord, your pulling power, your demolishing power is at work in our minds. I just think we need to say this right now just to reinforce our faith. Just say it with me. Say, the word, the power of the Lord is strong enough to demolish, to bring to extinction any stronghold that the enemy has established in my mind. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we believe this. We work and work our faith, Lord. We're not earning it. We're working from a place, not for a place. We're working from a place. We're working and operating in faith from righteousness. And we thank you, Father, that you've defeated our enemy. We thank you, Lord, that Satan is defeated and his enemies are defeated and his demons are defeated as well. And we thank you, Lord, that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Lord, because you're for us. And if you're for us, who could be against us? And all things are possible with you, Lord. And all things are possible to him who believes. And we believe. For it is true, Lord, that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, that we are enjoying a great existence, that we've died, and now we're letting you live in us. It's no longer us who lives, but Christ who lives in us. Father, we thank you that even today, as you said, Lord, your angels are moving on our behalf, that they are working, moving, and operating, Lord, that they are working and confirming the word with signs following. Now, Lord, for this week and this time ahead, we thank you, Lord, that you've directed our paths. We will be in the right place at the right time. We will fellowship with you, and we are available as your church to do your work. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.